Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Every month is a special month for me at the Christian Research Institute, and this month is no exception. I love the issue of origins. I love it because I came to faith in Christ initially by looking at the evidence for God. Is there a God, or must we believe in the Darwinian theory of evolution? Well, this month we have some resources that demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that evolution, Darwinian evolution, neo-Darwinian evolution, is no longer tenable. And I love the book by Tom Bethel. If you don't have it yet, I've been urging you all month to get it. It is available for those who support the ministry. It's titled Darwin's House of Cards. And Bethel documents the fact that there is remarkable little evidence for Darwinism. Universal common descent has been rightly disputed. It has been demonstrated to be mainly a deduction from Darwin's theory and not a physical observation. Indefinite departure from the original type has never been observed. That's why you see inferred transitional forms. Natural selection, of course, merely multiplies existing varieties. C.S. Lewis had a sense about this while he was alive. And as he guessed, it is more easily accounted for when you think about the disappearance of old forms than the appearance of new ones. What is clear beyond the shadow of a doubt is that Darwinism was propped up by the worldview of progress that dominated the West from the Enlightenment on, particularly in the middle to the late 19th century. And today, that same worldview, it's so ironic, it's being disparaged by the environmentalists, the most extreme of whom think that humans, well, they called them a plague on the planet. But one still widespread philosophy does lend support to Darwinism. Any guesses what that might be? Well, it's materialism. It's the belief that mind is reducible to matter and that the universe consists of molecules in motion and little else. All of this started a long time ago. And materialism is now a philosophy that is living and is being revived by those who, like Charles Darwin and Karl Marx in the 19th century, believed in, well, myths that were helpful to them, but hurtful to humanity. Well, of course, Marxism has already collapsed, except in Western universities. And whether Darwinism will survive the loss of faith in progress and the introduction of more careful scientific scrutiny, well, that's something that we ought to find out probably during our lifetimes. Bethel says, at this moment, I believe the science of Darwinism amounts to little more than the wedding of materialism and progress. And we have seen that if materialism is true, then Darwinism, or something very much like it, must also be true. But materialism is highly implausible and has been widely challenged. At the same time, it only takes one partner to break up a marriage. And as we now know, progress has, well, it's wandered off the straight and narrow. As a result, the breakup of Darwinism seems likely in the years ahead. And we as Christians have to be ready for that very thing. Not only be ready, we ought to be out of the bleachers and on the playing field helping Darwinism to collapse as Marxism collapsed. Only one life, soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is why we're equipping God's people. This is a resource. It's fun to read. I even have my daughter Christina reading the book at present and watching Revolution. Did you watch Revolutionary yet?
I did.
You did. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good. It reminded me a lot of my high school lessons where we actually read his book.
Darwin's Black Box.
Mm-hmm. So the when you said flagellum, that's a tongue twister. When you said flagellum, it rang a bell. And when you started to talk about it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Isn't it cool the way he takes the flagellum? And it, like you say, it's a tongue twister. It's a hard word to pronounce, much less understand for the average person. But the way he takes that and he makes that completely discernible.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love just the way that he, it's like this argument for design, for teleology, for the fact that, I mean, I was reading in House of Cards just how much of the fossil record is indicative of a direction of design. The similarities between things that are different, it's not because of, I don't remember the scientific terms, but whatever they attribute it to, I think it was natural selection or something like that. But it's because of it, everything has like little bits and pieces because God uses different parts in different ways. Just like you would use different parts of a car, you might use it for something else, or, you know, it's multi-use. I guess the example he used was like, you know, keys on a keyboard. It's kind of similar to what you use on an iPhone. Like the idea is similar. So you're using similar devices.
So it's analogous, not homologous. That's in play.
Yes. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, and again, it is fun to watch. I like to watch these kinds of films with my kids, and these books are absolutely necessary because your kids are getting heavy doses of Darwinian evolution. I'm getting a heavy dose of chemo tomorrow, but they're getting heavy doses of the evolutionary hypothesis, low-grade hypothesis, and we need to inoculate our kids. Well, a lot of you hanging on. I haven't even asked for people to call yet. 888-ASK-HANK. A lot of you hanging on. The number, by the way, to call if you want to talk to our resource consultants to get Darwin's House of Cards or Revolutionary, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to one of our resource consultants at 888, or you can go to the web at equip.org. And after all these years, I should have got that straight. Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of people hanging on. Grace first in Tucson, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, and we've been praying for your health, so.
Oh, thank you.
Just so you know, there's a whole bunch of us praying for you.
Oh, bless you.
My question is, I've heard you speak quite a lot about the movie The Shack.
Yeah.
And so, coming from an apologetic point of view, I'm always trying to find what commonality, what truth, no matter where somebody's coming from, what can I get on common ground with them on, rather than debating why that movie's so heinous?
Yeah.
So I've called before in this, and I would really like, you know, a good way of approaching people. A lot of times lately, I just get really silent, and I kind of hear the scripture in my head that meat that sacrificed to idols, if it doesn't bother you, do we let that go? And, you know, I kind of get a little bit like apologetically, how do I peacefully and with love, most of all to my Christian brothers and sisters, say anything or not say anything? Like, where is my charity? Where is my tone? You know, I don't want to blow them out of the water, like, on how bad that movie is, because I know some people so love this movie.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that is the attitude that you are displaying. You want to reach as opposed to repel, which is precisely what we ought to be doing. So you're looking for some common ground, at least to start the discussion on. And I think one of the valuable elements of the movie is its response to the problem of evil and suffering. It has a hopeful message that there is no unredeemable suffering. In other words, that suffering has a purpose in the plan of God. I mean, just before I came into the studio, when I was praying, I was asking the Lord to heal me. I always picture myself touching the hem of Christ's garment and feeling the healing virtue flow into my body. But I also pray, Lord, if that's not your will, may you be glorified in whatever I go through, or be glorified in my suffering, because nothing happens. Not a hair falls from our head that God does not care or have some purpose for. So God can heal me, or he can be glorified in my suffering, and he knows what's best. So again, this is something where you have a point of contact or a point of commonality. But that should not dissuade you from, if there is an opportunity, if you're discussing the movie, pointing out that one of the greatest errors, perhaps the greatest error, no doubt the greatest error that anyone can ever make, is a misconception of the nature of God. And this is one of the things that you find not only in the book, but also in the movie, but I would say primarily in the book. And so you have a William P. Young chiding people about what he believes to be their misconceptions of the Trinity, and then he proceeds to compromise, confuse, and outright contradict biblical doctrines that have been hammered out historically with respect to the Trinity. So I think that there are places that require discussion, but I think it's also very, very good that you're looking for places to start, places of commonality. Here's what I've got for you. I've got two things. One is an article that I did, How Should a Christian Think About the Shack? And number two is an article which was very, very good. It was a review of the movie. And that review was done by my son-in-law, actually, Dr. Adam Pelser, who is a philosophy professor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And he watched the movie with my daughter, yeah, I think maybe my grandson Luke, too. I'm not absolutely positive. But they found some redeeming qualities in the movie, and he mentions that in this piece. Of course, he also mentions the difficulties that I've brought up. But I think, to your point, he's looking for commonalities so that the discussion might be one that reaches as opposed to repels. So those two articles available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, you can find them online at equip.org. Thank you, Grace, for your call. We are coming to station break. I want to say something about CRI support team before we sign off the first segment today. A lot of people calling in, so we'll be taking a lot of calls today. Do remember that this is the most important team as far as the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute is concerned around the world. We are making a difference, and we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth by joining CRI support team. These are the Green Berets. These are the special forces, as it were, by analogy, of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So if you've been giving to the ministry, think about joining CRI's monthly support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. It's one of the great joys I have every single day. I come in early in the morning, I personalize books, and I love doing it. I whisper a prayer for the person that I'm personalizing the book to as I do it. And so again, you can join CRI's support team and make a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Check it out on the web at equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Journalist Tom Bethel uses his decades-long journey through the flimsy evidence of Darwinism to make a compelling case to topple Darwin's House of Cards, arguably the greatest myth in the history of science. To receive your copy of Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification
rededication of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Veteran journalist Tom Bethel believes the great problem with science as it is understood today is that authority more and more replaces evidence. In his new book, Darwin's House of Cards, Bethel explains how Darwinism was once a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, moats, and battlements. Yet today, it more closely resembles a house of cards, built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. Don't overlook this evidence-driven opportunity to topple the authoritarian regime that Darwinism is in the world today. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Derek, listening in St. Peter's, Missouri, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Derek.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, and I'm praying for your health as well.
Thank you.
I have a question about Lester Sumrall. I've come across him just recently, some of his older programs, and I don't know anything about him. And I trust your opinion. So is he someone that is okay to listen to, or should I stay clear of him?
Well, yeah, I mean, to the degree that you're watching the reruns, I wouldn't watch them. The reason being is that he was doctrinally aberrant. He used to teach some really horrific stuff, including the fact that God's body is very likely about the same size as the body that Jesus Christ had in the incarnation, that God the Father has all the qualities of a human being, and that the Bible substantiates them, especially with the bodily parts, and that in his opinion, we have to realize that we are exactly as God is in heaven. Now, this flies in the face of what Christians have always taught about God the Father. We believe, obviously, that Jesus is forever Theanthropus, the God-man. However, we cannot know God in his essence. He is ineffable. Nor do we picture God the Father, especially we do not picture God the Father as having body parts. This is more akin to Mormonism than it is to Christianity. In Mormonism, God was once a man, and now he dwells in yonder heaven because he went up the ladder of progression and became a God. And what God is now, man may become. Now, certainly, the historic Christian faith teaches that we may have union with God, that we can be partakers of the divine nature, that we can become by grace what God is by nature, but we will never be what God is in the Godhead. And that distinction was not only confused by Lester Sumrall, but compromised and contradicted by him. Of course, he also teaches word of faith doctrines. The idea of faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And he had a sub-biblical view of demonology as well. I kind of talk about that in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. So overall, not a ministry that I would recommend.
Well, there's a reason that I was getting that feeling, and that reaffirmed it. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kathleen in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
great. I hope you're feeling well, and I lift you up in prayer also.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a dilemma with my religion. My denomination is United Methodist, and I truly love my denomination. However, they have, the Western District in the United States has appointed a female lesbian married woman as bishop, as a bishop. So it all went up to the council, and the council said it was not in the disciplines. It was not allowed. Yet, she's in good standing, and they didn't defrock her. Now, a couple of years ago, they defrocked a male minister for doing a wedding ceremony for his gay son. And then, last year, they reinstated him. Now, how can a religion think that sexuality is okay and that we should allow them to be married in church and we should allow them to be ordained even when they are practicing immoral sex? The Bible states, and I know this for a fact, I've done a lot of research, that it's an abomination. So I ask, I keep saying, how can a church say it's okay? And my answer is, Jesus said to love everybody. I said, wait a minute. He said to love everybody, but he didn't say to love their ideologies. And when he saved the prostitute, he said, go and sin no more.
Well, you know what, Kathleen?
Yeah,
I mean, look, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, the problem here is that people are becoming their own pontificators, which is to say, they're setting themselves up as being some objective source of reality, which means that they have negated the objective source of information, God. And so they're saying, you know what, God, whatever you think as delineated in an authentic authority, something that can be demonstrated to be authentic, the Word of God, really does not matter because society has moved on. And therefore, what the Bible taught, speaking for God, is now out of date. And I think you're absolutely right in saying that this is something that we ought to reject because the Bible is an objective, reliable authority that carefully defines the borders of human sexuality, not because God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy, but because God wants our joy to be complete. In other words, he sets parameters around our lives for a reason. Now, you know, this is maybe illustrated by something that I've used before on the air. The idea, let's say you buy a Rolls Royce. That's, I guess, one of the most expensive cars in the world, or a Ferrari or whatever. And then you start plowing fields with that Ferrari or Rolls Royce. And the Rolls Royce or Ferrari breaks down. And you go back to the dealership and you say, this car, one of the most expensive cars in the world, finally tuned and manufactured, keeps breaking down on me. Well, once the manufacturer finds out how you are using the vehicle, they will say, well, the warranty is void. You're using it in a way that it was not designed to be used. In the same way, God, who knit us together in our mother's wombs, knows precisely what is best for us. And now you have priests, you have pastors who are deciding that God does not know best, I know best. And so now truth, unfortunately, is being determined and defined by the size and the scope of the latest lobby group. But the Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. And this is something that
I've had church members say, well, if you don't believe in it, you can still say stay a Methodist, just don't believe in it. I said, no, I can't. If I stay in the Methodist religion, am I not condoning it? And that's making me just as guilty as if I had committed the sin.
Well, the other part of it, too, and I think, Kathleen, as those who are involved in the life of a church, we support the life of the church financially. So this is another, you know, grave problem that we have. You know, we're supporting this not only by our presence, but also by our pocketbooks. And I think the bottom line here is we must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. To go against conscience is neither right or safe. I think that's precisely how Luther put it. So the temptation to yield to cultural norms is going to continue to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And yet to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed on our collective lives. And this is not some trifling matter. What we're talking about here is natural law. And to deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of a free society. So this is an issue of utmost importance. Now, I like what you said as well in terms of how we're supposed to deal with people. There are people who want to follow Christ and they don't understand his precepts and his principles. In fact, they're being misled by the clerical collar. And that's a shame. But they really want to follow the precepts and principles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not going to deny anybody that wants to follow him. But by following him, you find out more and more about what is best for how you live your life in concert in terms of your relationship with God, also in concert in terms of your relationship with human beings. So you learn how to love God with your heart, soul, and mind and strength, and you learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. So as you learn these principles and precepts, you conform your life to them. And the sad thing is, the very people who are seeking to do this are being misled by the politically correct and popular attitudes of today's, well, unfortunately, pastorpreneurs and people in all kinds of places of responsibility within the body of Christ. But again, we need to subject ourselves to the Word of God, not because we're masochists, but because we really care about other people. And if we follow God's principles, we will be blessed. If we do not, we will suffer the consequences. Just like night follows day. It's inexorable. We'll be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day. More answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science, its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy, the philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we must understand the facts and be able to dismantle Darwin's outdated ideas and their de-evolutionary influence on our world.
To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. "My goal," says Hank, "is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable." Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Institute exists to equip you with resources to stand against assaults on biblical truth. This month, we are tackling the threat of Darwinism. In Darwin's House of Cards, veteran journalist Tom Bethel explains that Darwin's theory is a 19th century idea past its prime, propped up by logical fallacies, bogus claims, and empirical evidence that is all but disintegrating under an onslaught of new scientific discoveries. Are you equipped to help dismantle the Darwinian myth that dominates our world today? To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes directly from Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel, who writes, "Teleology is the idea disallowed in Darwin's theory that an activity is directed towards a goal. The philosopher Michael Ruse once joked that teleology in biology is like a man's mistress. He can't live without her, but he can't be seen in public with her either. Again, Tom Bethel writing in Darwin's House of Cards. This quote will be up on the web shortly. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael in Strasburg, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
Perfect timing. I get to finally talk to you.
Well, I'm glad.
I've had two questions. One today, but one of your callers today made me want to ask a different question, if that's okay.
Yeah, you can ask what you will.
She'd mentioned Go and Sin No More. And I was just wondering, is that really possible?
Well, no, it is not possible, because every single day we sin in thought, word, and deed. However, we can live a life by which we no longer willfully sin, and when we do sin, we ask the Lord to forgive us, recognizing that He is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the idea communicated by Jesus Christ is that we should not live lives of willful disobedience, lives of willful sin. And certainly the woman he was speaking with was a person who was breaking all the rules. She was doing it knowingly. Jesus called her on it. Jesus, knowing her heart, saw true repentance and true remorse, and tells that woman then, go and sin no more, in the sense of do not keep living a life of perpetual willful sin. The woman now recognizing that this is what got her in the state in which Jesus found her to begin with. So the idea is to order our lives around the divine. And as I said to a previous caller, follow the principles and precepts of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which was the very person that the woman was speaking with.
Well, and can I ask the question I called for today?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. Go for it.
I feel very fortunate that both of my children seem to be loved by God. My big prayer was, please love them both, after God saying, one I hated, one I loved. But one of them called me out. My wife left me. I'm dating someone whose spouse has died, so... But I'm wondering if I am committing adultery if I married her because my spouse left me.
Well, here's the deal. You know, if you are in a marriage and your spouse leaves you and she closes the door to reconciliation, you're not bound in that circumstance. In fact, that's precisely what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So he's pointing out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, he says the other party is not bound in that circumstance. However, and this is a big however, if, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So again, if the door to reconciliation is closed because someone leaves, and either dies or marries someone else, you're not bound in that circumstance.
Well, I think my son is hoping there would be reconciliation.
Well, that's the greatest good.
I thought it was hopeless.
Well, that's the greatest good. I mean, look, if you think about marriage is, well, it's parabolic. It's parabolic of Christ and the church. So you think about the reality that Christ forgives us. He pays a debt that we could never pay. He reconciles us to Himself. So the parable there is one of reconciliation, and we live out that parable in our relationships and most certainly in our marriage. So the idea of reconciliation is paramount in the life of a Christian. Now, having said that, reconciliation is always a two-way street. It takes someone who is wanting to reconcile and someone who is, on the other hand, willing to reconcile. In other words, you need both sides of the equation. You need someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. You need someone who is willing to reconcile and someone who is wanting to be reconciled.
That complicates it a bit.
Well, it complicates it unless you want what... See, this is not about technicalities. This is not about, well, how do I get around this particular technicality? How do I figure this angle out? What this is really about is saying, God, I want what is best according to your will. And then God will guide you. He will open doors and close doors, but he will guide you. But if you say, you know what, I want to do it my own way, and I want to find a technical way out, it always leads to heartbreak. So the best way is always God's way. And maybe by way of analogy, it's sort of like the prayer I was talking about earlier that I prayed just before I came into the studio. I was praying about my healing, as many people are. And I pray on the one hand, Lord, please heal me. On the other hand, I pray, Lord, glorify yourself through whatever I go through. But whatever your choice is, may your will be done, because God sees the panoply of our lives. I only see a snapshot, as do you, a snapshot at a time. So we want God's way. And so I think that the complication goes away when you say, you know what? I want what you want, God. I want you to be glorified in my life. And God will maybe close the door that at this point you think should be closed and open the door that you think should be opened. Maybe it'll go in a different direction, but whatever direction God wants it to go is the direction that is best for you. I mean, that's, again, why God has these regulations, not because he wants to curtail your joy, but because he wants your joy to be full.
Yes, one, he's been very kind. But when you said, if you can reconcile, and you're talking about someone I don't communicate with anymore, that's why I said it complicates it, because, you know, do I have to go and say, have you changed your mind?
Well, it's not a matter of what you have to go and do. It is what you are willing to do. I think the operative word is always the word willing. Are you willing to reconcile? And again, if she's not willing to reconcile, and if she closes the door irrevocably to reconciliation, as a believer, you're not bound in that circumstance. But ultimately, this is something that I cannot parse out for you because I don't know all the details. I can just give you the principles and parameters that are found in Scripture, and that's what you want to ultimately guide your life by.
Yes, well, and that complicates it. I'd love to sit and spend several hours with you, but thank you so much. Because you did, I just wanted to ask, because it just came up, and I like listening to you, and think you have good answers.
Hey, Michael, by the way, we did an article. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's called Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. I think it'd be very helpful to you.
Yes, one, you just reminded me. Legally, I had grounds for divorce, even though I didn't pursue it. But anyway, thank you so much. I don't want to let other people not get to ask their questions.
Well, let me see if I can get one more call in. Melanie, she's listening in Huntsville, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Melanie. A lot of Sirius XM 131 callers. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
My question is, my daughter is going to be signed up right now to go on a mission trip to, it's with Adventures in Missions, and it's called the World Race. And it's been brought to my attention that potentially this could be have some connections to a cult or a type of cult. And I was just wondering if you had heard of it, heard of the, you know, the director, his name is Seth Barnes, and they said something about being the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, I think is what. Anyways, I was just wondering if you knew anything about that.
A little bit, but not enough to give you a clear answer on the air. Here's what I'd like to do. If you will hang on, we will do the research for you, or I'll find the research already done in our research department, and we'll get that to you.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, there's a couple of flags in what you said, but just off the top of my head, I don't have enough knowledge to speak with any kind of authority at this point. So hang on. We will definitely get the answer to you.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling, Melanie. And well, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Tomorrow we're going to have a recorded show, so there will be no live answers to your calls, but it's going to be really, really cool. What's it about? It is Michael Behe, and it's my interview with Michael Behe. It was one of those interesting interviews I've ever done. Again, it involves his film Revolutionary, and you're going to love it. So while I'm being pump full of chemo, you're going to have a great time listening to Michael B. and my conversation with him. And please pray for me as I pray for you. And more important than anything else, continue to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Together we're making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. What a blessing I have to do. You know, every moment counts in my life, and to be able to do what I'm doing for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom is indeed a great pleasure. I've been busy from early this morning till the time I came on air, writing op-ed pieces for newspapers, you know, my new book, Islam, and just enjoying every moment that God gives me to serve Him, and I hope you will as well. Again, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference. Join CRI's monthly support team, equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Tom Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, to show you why, like Bethel, he's inclined to say that there is actually no evidence for evolution. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel,
Its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.